The raw numbers of unaccompanied minors arriving in U.S. detention centers is far from the end of the journey for these brave children. In the tens of thousands on their own are having to trust human traffickers called coyotes. A pipeline of children seeking their parents is flowing while the U.S. government fails to act on comprehensive immigration reform. Armando Truhl, a senior reporter from WAMU in Washington, D.C., brings us profiles of kids and parents just trying to be reunited against all odds. We begin with a child's solo journey and his mother Katia's prayer for his safety.
Katia is a housekeeper, and she works in one of the suburbs in Maryland, close into the District of Columbia. She'd been separated from her son for 6 years. Her son is 15 years old, and she'd been struggling to try to bring him over, had not been able to do so. And one day she gets a surprise call from her mother.
My mother surprised me when she told me he was no longer with her, that he has decided to come looking for me.
So Katia's son had decided on his own to basically make the journey to the United States. How old is he?
15. He's a ninth grader, and he basically had $500 that he had saved up over almost a year and a half, money that he had gotten from Katia, and he decided that that was going to be enough to make a 3,200-mile journey.
And here's Katia's reaction when she learns this from her mother.
I felt my hands and feet were tied. There's nothing you can do except ask God to protect your child. Pray for a miracle.
So Katia is praying, and all the time Katia is praying, little Mario is making his way slowly north to the United States. And here's a little bit of his story.
There's so much violence. I was even afraid to go to school. In El Salvador, many students on their way to school are disappearing.
And that speaks to his fear of being in his own community. Explain.
It's a fear that has gripped a lot of young people in not only El Salvador, where he is from, but also Guatemala and Honduras. The level of crime there is really, really off the charts. You've got a lot of gang activity, and Mario spoke very eloquently about how he would see his classmates disappear on their way to school, never to be seen again.
Well, certainly something that would motivate a child to run away from home or join the circus in the kind of playful mythology of the United States. But in this case, it's a 3,200-mile journey that for Mario ends up on the banks of the Rio Grande. Listen.
I crossed the river on a small raft, and knowing God was on my side, I wasn't scared. The only thing going through my mind was that all I was doing, God willing, was to make a better future for myself.
Mario eventually is reunited with his mother, right?
That's right. It took about 3 weeks. He was sent to a initial detention center by Homeland Security. From there, he had to be moved to a Health and Human Services approved youth facility. And then eventually, his mother was contacted and told, "We have your son. You have to either pay to have him flown to Maryland, or you have to come pick him up." And she drove to get him. He was actually in Miami. That's where he wound up, at a Catholic youth center in Miami. She drove down there and was reunited with him.
Now, that's an example, Armando, of some young child who takes matters into his own hands. But there are many different pathways for getting from Central America to the United States, and you looked at a number of them.
Absolutely. That was one extreme where the child, as you said, decided to take the first step. For other parents, it's a very difficult decision. Now, I spoke to a woman called Elena. She is from Guatemala. She's a fast food worker, and she had also been separated from her children for 6 years. Her children are 13, 12, and 10 years old. And one of the problems that some of these parents have is that they've left their children with their grandparents. These grandparents are beginning to get old. And so as the violence escalates in Central America, as the economic conditions worsen, and as these caretakers become unable to take care of these children, those are some of the driving factors that press these parents into making desperate decisions, such as sending these children alone on a 3,000-mile journey and spending $12,000 to pay smugglers to do it. $12,000 is about 60%, 70% of this fast food worker's yearly salary.
And all the time, Elena has to rely on traffickers to basically take care of her three children. And here's Elena's sort of a description of the fears that she has doing this.
You know you're placing your children at risk by bringing them by themselves on this trip. I placed them in God's hands.
She told me, John, that she would get on her knees every night and pray for the safety of her three little children.
Well, the prayers, I gather, were answered, although no parent would want their children to go through this experience. Listen, these are Elena's children.
We had to climb a huge ladder. After we climbed the ladder, they lowered us on the other side.
I was scared and I was crying. I ran to the woods and sat down.
When you consider all of the terrible things that could have happened, these are the lucky ones, John. These are the ones who made it.
And so the dam is bursting. That's what we're seeing with this influx of people from Central America. Is that what you're saying, Armando?
Exactly. And I mean, the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area is home to about a third of the Central American population in the country. So you have a substantial number of immigrants here from El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras. And so it's no surprise that they would eventually, a significant number of them, wind up here, because that's where the significant number of relatives or parents are.
And the immediate impacts are, of course, in the schools. Here's Stephanie Arameo, who counsels recently arrived immigrant students in Montgomery County High Schools.
Started off with 12 in October 2013, and now in May 2014, I ended with 26.
More than a 100% increase. Is that what you're seeing across the county?
I've spoken to several of the different jurisdictions in the Metro D.C. area, not just Montgomery County, but also in Prince George's, the District of Columbia, Virginia, and all of them have seen an increase. Some of them have seen that type of dramatic increase. Some of them have seen less. The problem is they don't really know how many children are going to ultimately come, and many of those children are coming here.
Armando Trull, senior reporter from WAMU, thanks so much.
It's always a pleasure to be here, John. Thank you.